In our psalm this morning, verse 4 says, "We will recount to generations to come the praiseworthy deeds and the power of the Lord and the wonderful works he has done." Now, I've been here for about a month, and I'm still getting to know you, and since you're still getting to know me, too, I thought I'd tell you a little story about myself. I grew up in Florida. Every summer, I went to a Christian camp in Leesburg, which is at the heart of Central Florida in the swamp. This camp was a major source of stability and strength for me in an otherwise fairly unstable life. My father's job had us moving around a lot, so my family moved about every 4 or 5 years. And there was strife and discord in my family as well. And so there were often times when I was, we might call it, troubled. And of course, there's always the constant ebb and flow of growing up. Learning and growing requires a lot of change, both physically and mentally. And in that sort of shifting ebb and flow of life and of place of origin and of family situation, there was one thing that remained the same in my life, and that was camp. So every year I returned to the same place, whether my car was coming from south or north or east or west, whether I was well behaved or not, whether my hair was green or pink or purple or black or blonde, I returned to the same place. I returned because I loved it. I returned because I could just be me, no matter how much of a pain in the butt I was. And I returned because annually I was reminded of the constancy of God's love by coming to a place that remained the same and by coming into a place that was staffed with people who loved God and showed that love. I was coming to a place where I was reminded, as they say in the psalm, the praiseworthy deeds and the power of the Lord. No matter how much my world changed from year to year. When I got old enough, I spent my summers as a counselor at that same constant place in my life. I loved it. Every week I met a new group of people, young people who came to play and to fellowship. Every week I got a chance to sing and to romp and to act goofy every day. And every Friday I got the opportunity to come to the table of the Lord and commune with these children. It was wonderful to be a part of such an amazing place with such amazing campers. Sometimes. One week I had a particularly challenging group of campers. It was interesting because many of these kids were like I was growing up. Their lives were in constant shift. These were kids who really loved to come to camp, but also really loved to make trouble. And these were also kids who hated me because I knew where the places you could hide were and where you could break all the rules and how you could break all the rules. So I caught them all the time, and they hated me for it. And that feeling was mutual. I couldn't wait for Saturday morning to arrive when I could wave goodbye to these little monsters who terrorized my place of stability and turned me into a monster as well. But there was one hurdle to cross before that blessed day would come, the Friday Eucharist. Geez, it was hard enough getting them to stay quiet during a normal worship service with songs and hand motions and 5-minute sermons. How were we going to make it through the Eucharistic prayer? Moreover, how was I going to be able to hand them the body of Christ, the bread of heaven, and really mean it? This was the existential crisis of 1999. You're allowed to laugh at that. But something shifted in that very holy, very stable place, in that very holy, very stable moment. I begrudgingly walked up to the altar to receive the bread and hand it to these villainous kids. And I turned around to my monsters, and I gasped in awe. Suddenly, there before me were wide eyes and outstretched hands. Suddenly, the villains of my week were simply children of God reaching for a piece of their Savior. It really caught me off guard. And moved by this shift of perception, as I handed each camper the body of Christ, I began to cry. There was a connection that was made inside of me, a change. Those tears returned Friday after Friday as I approached the altar and was handed the body of Christ. Near the end of the summer, a priest named Jackie approached me. "You're different from last year," she said. "Your actions with yourself and with others are tender and gracious. You're not angry, you're not frustrated, you're not upset, and you're not manic." This is not the Lauren that I knew from last year. And you know what? I kind of knew it too. I just didn't have words to place for it. But I was different in some way. I was changed by God. And I wanted others to know that change too. I told her my story about how I used to be a terror in middle school and high school, and then how I grew up and I came to this wonderful place of stability again and again. And then I told her about how I met all of these monsters who were so much a reflection of me and how I hated them. And then I told her about that moment of change when God took away my monster vision and showed me his unbounding grace through these kids. And after I finished, I said, "So I don't know. I don't think I could ever be the same after that." Jackie said, "You won't." And then she said something that will stick with me for the rest of my life. She said, "It sounds like you found your call to ministry." Now, I thought she was joking at first. I was a criminology major. I rarely went to church during the school year. I really didn't like church all that much. I really wasn't into the whole God scene too much. I just really liked camp. I balked. "You can't possibly think that I'd ever be interested in ordination." Jackie simply shook her head. She said, "Lauren, I don't know what God has in store for your future, but I do know one thing. Whether or not you're ordained, you are a minister. There's no getting around it. You have physically encountered and have been changed by the same unmerited, abundant grace that was present at your baptism. And now you're learning how to use it." Holy cow, she was right. Those words were the words that I was looking for, what was going on inside of me. I had changed because I was longing to respond to God's move in my life. I wasn't ordained, but I could see now that I was a minister. I wanted to recount in word and deed just how amazing God is. I wanted for others to know the constant and life-changing power of their own being. And most of all, after realizing this, I wanted people to know that they too were ministers and that they too had the gifts and graces to proclaim God. In our catechism in the Episcopal Church, which, by the way, is found in the back of your Book of Common Prayer if you're interested in ever reading it, says that As Christians, our basic ministry is to represent Christ in his church, to bear witness to him wherever we may be, and according to the gifts given us, to carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world, to take our places in the life, worship, and governance of the church. So, in other words, as our psalm says, to continue to recount the power of God. Now, this is a great day to celebrate this kind of ministry and to do this, to recount to generations to come the praiseworthy deeds and the power of the Lord and the wonderful works that he has done. Today, we will baptize and welcome 4 new members into the household of God and into our church family. In that time, we will promise to do all in our power to support these young people and to make sure that we recount to them God's love to this generation. We too will also renew our baptismal vows and belief and proclaim the good news by word and example to seek to serve Christ in all persons. We too will name that we are ministers. It is also a time in our church when we begin to think about our time and our talents and our treasure. By now, many of us have received the form in the mail that really encourages us to think hard about what and how much of ourselves we can give to God through the St. Paul's community, through a community that does such great work in this world. We also have the opportunity to, we had the opportunity to walk through the ministry fair today, to sign up for and bear witness to the many ways that this church acts as a stable and steady place for people who are tired of the changes and chances of this life. To act as a beacon of hope for people who are hopeless. And we were able to visit and recount God to this generation and generations to come. We can figure out those ways together. We do this by our proclamations and promises. We do this by our gifts and our graces. We do this by our changed lives and our second chances, and by repeating all of that to our generations to come. Friends, today I invite you to begin pondering the ways that God has worked in your life, and then to discover ways that your work in ministry bears witness to that grace. I invite you to think about the physical and emotional places of stability that God has given to you, and to think about ways that you can continue to maintain that stability and love in our constant life together in Christ. And as we welcome Henry David, Caroline Rose, Charlotte Serafina, and Charlotte Elizabeth into our family today, let us give thanks for this generation of new ministers that will continue our legacy of ministry in recounting God to the next generation and the next generation and the next generation to come. Let us continue to do the work of ministry that is given to all of us at our baptism.